Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. Tonight's guest, Suzanne Jonas, is a PhD, a doctor in music and behavioral medicine psychology. This segment of the show is being brought to you by Comfort One Shoes in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Dr. Jonas. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing well, thank you. And just
oh,
excited
good.
To
I
be
am
here.
So glad. I am so delighted to be able to talk to you this evening. You know, our show is basically body, mind, and spirit connection.
Okay.
And that means all of the interests that we have is really centered around how our bodies and minds work together with our spirit to bring about healing. And that's what we're working on today, and
oh, yeah.
Every day, actually,
every day,
when you think about
sure.
it. I'm very interested in learning more about you because I love music, I love art, I love all sorts of things, but music has been a big part of my life, and that's one of the fascinating things that I found when I learned about you and read about you.
We have a caller online. Do you want me to put the callers on?
Yes.
Okay.
If you'd like to take a caller, absolutely.
Okay, it'll take about 5 seconds, and then they'll be online. Well, I need someone to talk. I can't.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Is this Phyllis Pricer? Hello?
Is anybody there talking?
Hello?
Phyllis? Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Can you guys hear each other?
I can hear Phyllis.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear
caller,
me?
Caller, I'm going to have to drop you to find out what's wrong. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Now, is everybody there?
I'm here.
Is Phyllis there? Phyllis? Phyllis Pricer?
I think we lost her.
Stay with me. I'll have to get them back.
All right.
Okay, we're back on the air. I'm so sorry. We seem to have had technical difficulties here. I'm sorry, Dr. Jonas.
That's all right. That's
did
all
we
right.
have our caller call in?
Someone did call in.
Okay, were the questions answered? I do apologize.
No, we didn't even have a chance to hear the question.
You didn't? Okay. Well, who's ever listening, please feel free to call back again. We do want to take calls. Anyway, I was going to ask you, Doctor, to... go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and training and what you are accomplishing. I think there are wonderful and great things that you're doing.
Well, they are. And let me just start with a little bit of the background. Both of my parents were musicians, and so I grew up in a household where there was lots of music and found that I really related to music quite well and just loved to have it
all
around me. And
are you able to talk up a bit on your phone, Lynn?
Hello?
Dr. Suzanne?
Yes?
Yeah, can you maybe try to speak a little louder?
Sure.
You're on the same line, and it's easy to make out Phyllis, but very difficult to hear you.
All right. Is that better?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, go ahead, doctor.
So I began taking piano lessons at a very young age and
mm-hmm.
added to that flute and violin and oboe and many other instruments, playing in bands and orchestras. And one of the things that happened to me when I was a teenager I was playing flute in a semi-professional orchestra outside of Chicago and found there were certain passages of music where I got tingles all through my body.
Ooh.
And it was impossible for me to play at the same time.
Ooh.
So it was very difficult to participate in an orchestra when I
mm-hmm.
would get these interesting feelings and didn't know what they were. And the cellist of the orchestra told me that I could get over these, and I pondered that for quite a while and realized I didn't want to.
Okay.
We didn't know what it was. But it was those feelings that mm-hmm. I'd always carried with me and knew then that music could have this incredible, incredible effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was decades later when I came across someone who was able to explain that it was energies moving through your body, that
mm-hmm.
You were resonating with that piece of music, and at the same time you were opening up to your spirit self, your higher self,
mm-hmm.
and the energies were raising.
Mm-hmm.
So that led me to, how can I give this experience to other people? Because
mm-hmm.
I always felt so much better afterwards. And very long story short, ended up going into psychology because at the time music therapy was not reimbursed by any of the insurance companies.
Okay.
But of course psychology was. And then learned a whole lot about mind-body connection through behavioral medicine psychology.
Okay.
That's where we look at any physical condition that you have and
mm-hmm.
look for the emotional antecedent to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that the emotions and mind are connected to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add music and you can touch the spirit part.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're touching the spirit, you're also touching mind, body.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a very wonderful, holistic type of therapy.
Absolutely. That's absolutely phenomenal. It's odd because I have a somewhat similar background, but please go ahead. This is your show.
That's all right.
And we want to learn more about you. Enough about me. Let's hear about you.
Yes, when I connect with other musicians, it sparks these wonderful
conversations. Oh, it did? Oh, I think it's just absolutely fantastic. But go ahead. So you got into this psychology.
Right.
And then you by extension, then learned to combine both of these?
Yes. When I was doing my doctoral work, this was after having gotten a degree in music, and then the doctorate was in behavioral medicine psychology. I was able to combine my love and interest for music and healing
uh-huh.
in that way.
Uh-huh.
So was hired by a hospital to, first and foremost, do the psychology, but they were very much more interested in how to use music for healing in the hospital, and that was even before the whole field that we now have called music medicine.
Okay.
So it's the application of
mm-hmm.
of certain pieces of music or
mm-hmm.
sounds
mm-hmm.
to change physical symptoms or emotional symptoms.
Well, it makes sense because a body is a vibratory instrument itself.
Absolutely.
And sound and light are vibrations.
Exactly.
And our bodies and the parts of our bodies are tuned to accept and utilize these vibrations as they come to us.
That's right. That's
I think
exactly.
one of the more less pleasant ones, shall we say, or somebody who has their car as they drive up tuned to heavy rock, and but you can feel a vibration in the seat of the car.
yes.
So that's something else. You can actually feel the vibration. Well, continue on with this. I find this fascinating because music was used by the ancient Greeks, you know.
Oh, it's been used since man was first put on the planet.
Uh-huh.
They would use bird songs, or they would hollow out parts of trees and make them into instruments, anything.
Uh-huh.
Drumming, in
yes.
particular, is very healing. And now there's many studies that show that people who participate in drumming circles
yes.
can reduce their stress levels and blood pressure and go away feeling much better for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yes, there's not a culture on this planet that hasn't used music and sound for healing, not one.
And specifically, there are some forms of music and sound that are more healing than others, are there not?
Definitely. definitely.
Okay. Can you explain why and so forth? And what they are? Some of them. Just. I know it's kind of a big order, but, you know, just get a thumbnail sketch.
A thumbnail sketch.
Yes.
Well, if you start by thinking, like you were saying, that your body is this vibratory being,
mm-hmm.
more than just chemistry.
Right.
It's the energy. It's the vibration of everything. Then there will be certain sounds that you can hear that you will resonate positively
mm-hmm.
to, and that will change your body chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mix of both. And this is in the realm of what we call sound therapy, where you're actually addressing, let's say, a particular, oh, let's say arthritis.
Okay.
You are going to address the arthritis with particular tones that will help raise the vibration of your body.
You mean you actually, it is a proven fact then, that this is something new to me, that you can exactly use this?
Yes. Yes, this is a field called bioacoustics
mm-hmm.
that was first formulated by a gal named Sherry Edwards. She's
okay.
in Ohio. She found that when you, she can hear a tone that's being emitted by all living things. We're all emitting a tone.
Right, exactly. We all have our song source, so to speak.
Yes, yes, and she can hear that tone. And she found that that tone is the one that our body needs for healing. So
okay.
she has an interesting voice. She sings in a pure sine wave. She doesn't sing with any overtones.
Interesting.
It's because her cochlea is misshaped. And,
really?
Right. And that's why she can hear
uh-huh.
the sounds to begin with and then can sing in this pure sine wave. So she hears this sound being emitted from the body, and then she sings that tone back to the person. And whatever problem that the person has had begins to diminish and heal itself.
Very
so
interesting.
She put together this whole field called bioacoustics, and so that the practitioners don't have to have an operation and get their cochlea.
Never mind.
Right.
We don't want to go there. That must be a very painful thing to do. I know giving up a lot for your art is something, but that's a bit
that's
much.
That's going of it, exactly.
So
she found that if you speak into a microphone for about 45 seconds,
right.
goes into a computer program, and it will analyze your voice
uh-huh.
and tell you everything that's out of balance in your body.
We have a caller.
Okay.
It'll take me a few seconds, and I'll have mom.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Higher Dimensions. Who's calling, please?
Hello?
I can't hear you. Could you speak up?
Hello? My name is Elaine.
Can you hear her, Dr. Jonas?
Barely.
Barely. Don, we're having some little sound problems. We cannot hear the name of the caller, and there's a wheel on it
clearly.
As well.
Hello?
Yes, there you go.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You're on Higher Dimensions. Welcome.
My mother passed away in August 24th, 2004. I actually have any messages for me?
Messages? Ma'am, our subject tonight, that would be for another night. We have Dr. Jonas with us, Suzanne Jonas, who is a psychologist and a music therapist, does behavioral work and healing body through music and sound vibration. Do you have a question centered on that? Or you could call back next week.
Okay, I'll call back next week.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Yes. Do listen, however.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Helper.
it's beautiful. I'm so glad somebody is listening, calling in. It verifies there's somebody out there, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. You were talking about this particular program. I find it absolutely fascinating. And the name of the person again?
Sherry Edwards.
Sherry Edwards. And for those who are listening, can they just contact her somehow?
Well, if you go to her website, which is soundhealthinc.com, she will have a list of practitioners.
Ah.
And I am one, and I'm in Maryville, Tennessee.
Okay.
but there are many scattered all over the United States.
Okay.
And you can connect with them.
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. So this sounds like a wonderful program. I know, tell me some of the other things that you've noticed as well in your practice and some of the interesting healings that have occurred through the use of music or sound.
Well, I'm just thinking, I don't know why arthritis is on my mind tonight.
Well, that's good, because I was not aware arthritis could be healed by sound. I've heard of other techniques, such as using peanut oil, which
mm-hmm.
seems to be very good, but
mm-hmm.
this is something beautiful.
Yes, again, let's see. This lady comes in to my office,
mm-hmm.
and she's complaining of arthritis in her joints,
mm-hmm.
and we take a voice print, and we find out exactly what's out of balance in her body.
Okay.
So then we're going to do two things. One of the things we're going to do is find out what vitamins, minerals, supplements
mm-hmm.
that could be helped. This will show up on the voice print,
mm-hmm.
and we will test her out for whatever that is.
Okay.
Arthritis generally relates a lot to digestion issues.
I'm not surprised.
So for sure, there will be some digestive enzymes that will
okay.
be recommended. But the
huh.
second line will be giving her her particular frequencies that her body needs.
Uh-huh.
And that shows up in the voice print. Now, to do that, we take her into the sound room, and I have this wonderful sound chair. It has what we call transducers in it.
Oh, is that the Clinic chair I've heard about?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes. And how did you hear about the Clinic chair?
Well, I heard of it through a Faith who works with Raymond Grace.
Yes.
In fact, I was thinking of buying one for myself.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Uh-huh. Having got a free ad for them now.
When you get it, you'll begin to live in it.
Well, I can believe that, because we work with healing arts here, too. But go ahead, please.
Okay, so you put the client in the chair and put through the chair those particular frequencies that her body has told me it needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the chair is going to feel vibratory. It's
okay, of course it does.
It's not music, it's vibration.
Right.
Then we're going to give her a set of headphones and
mm-hmm.
play either particular music
mm-hmm.
that will help her relax and move into an altered state, or we'll give her a voice-guided CD of some kind, meeting your spirit guide, going
okay.
to the beach,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Okay.
And she will get her first dose of the frequencies that she needs.
Okay.
At the same time, a CD is being made
mm-hmm.
that she will then take home. And particularly with a chronic disease like arthritis, she listens to it all night long. You just have it on in the background.
Oh, really?
In your bedroom. Yeah.
Oh.
Because you need that large a dose.
Wow. Okay.
So she's getting about 6 hours of that.
Okay.
And in 6 months, this lady who was not able to walk down to her driveway mailbox was able not only to do that, but she's out gardening and taking walks up and down the road.
Fantastic.
It is. It is. But you have to just keep remembering we are energy and you're giving energy.
Okay.
And then you're giving the body exactly what it needs.
Marvelous. So somebody would really need some guidance with this and working with this, right? It's not something
oh, definitely.
You would want to do on your own?
No. You don't want to do on your own. Because as there are frequencies that can heal you, there are certainly frequencies that can do just the opposite.
Okay.
And it reminds me of a newspaper article I saw maybe 6 months ago that the army in Israel has really been focusing in on research on sound. And now they have a particular set of sounds that they can play for crowd control.
Oy.
They put speakers on the truck, and they play these sounds, and people immediately get nauseous.
Oh, my God. Now, that's what I...
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Yes, I hear you.
Double-edged.
Oh, my Lord. So there are some others that you have dealt with and healing, is that correct? Using this particular type of therapy.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure. Oh, digestion issues.
Digestion?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we have a CD called Digest Aid.
Okay.
And it has been just amazing for people. You listen to it either before, during, or after a meal.
Okay.
It helps with the digestion process.
Okay.
And, well, as a matter of fact, one gal from California wrote in. She said she'd been sick for about 2 months, and every time she tried to eat, she'd become ill and nothing would digest.
Really?
And she went to the doctor, and they couldn't find anything wrong. So she tried the CD, and she said, when I first played the CD, I have to admit, it was uncomfortable.
Okay.
But the very first day, I started to notice that I was feeling better, and I wasn't as uncomfortable after I ate. The second day, I was feeling even more back to normal and decided to try and stop taking the medications before meals to see how she did. On the third day, I decided to stop medication completely and have not had to take it since.
That's phenomenal.
Right.
Well, a lot of illnesses, I have a dear friend who believes a lot of illnesses arise from the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very sensitive part, and that's what most people don't understand.
For sure, they just put anything in it. And the combination of your emotions acting on your physiology.
I was just going to suggest that connection, because I remember my mother enjoining me very, very seriously not to be upset when you eat.
Right.
To be calm and rested, because otherwise we'll get a sick stomach.
That's it. That's it. Your stomach contracts.
Mm-hmm.
The digestive enzymes aren't released that need to be released. I mean, your body is very wise. If you are upset, your body says, this is not the time to eat, and it won't produce the enzymes that are necessary.
Right. Yes, I think that's an absolute, absolutely fascinating to me. This is such a wonderful field, and it's come a heck of a long way in a very short period of time, all things considered, I think. What are some of the other very interesting concepts that you talked about? You talked about sound. Now, when you talk about, let's go back to music first. I've got so much here, I almost am scattered. And this is being worked world round, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What about what kind of music is recommended for healing purposes?
Well, it depends on what you're trying to heal.
Okay.
If you think of it exactly like medicine, first decide what you want the music to do.
Okay.
And then I can tell you what kind of music to choose. Now, generally, there's some general recommendations, like let's take while eating. You certainly don't want any fast, uncomfortable sounding music to be playing during that time. I mean, that's an obvious one. And going to sleep, you want slow music.
Right.
That will send you off.
Well, it's interesting because I listen to classical music. My stepfather was Italian. I was raised on classical music.
Opera?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I sang it.
Oh, wonderful.
Way. Yes. I studied opera for a number of years and decided that I would not follow it as a career because starving gracefully in a garret was not my idea of,
of life,
getting ahead. And you had to be outstanding, and still do, to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, I do love that music. I am always enamored of it. The thing is, I can listen to this music, for example, and just love it and slurp it up with a spoon. When I drive, I play it because it is so very soothing to me.
Yes.
And I don't get upset in traffic, you know, and which can be a very stressful situation, traffic.
Yes.
But I know other people who, if they play music, will fall asleep at the wheel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So is it also part of what you've been brought up with,
would say, conditioning? Absolutely. Cultural influences are very important.
Okay.
And when I'm teaching nurses in a hospital, one of the things on our sheet is, what is the patient's cultural and educational background?
Uh-huh.
Because that will make a difference.
Absolutely. So what would you recommend, for example, you have to do it per person, right? It can't just be a generic thing. There's no such generic, or is there? a sort of a rule of thumb that you can sometimes follow?
Well,
as far as...
Well, let's say for heart problems.
Okay, that's a good one.
Waltzes. Listening to waltzes are extremely helpful.
Really?
Yes. That
so
real,
good old Strauss.
Yeah, that one, you know, that real
one,
strong
two, three.
One beat, which makes a nice...
Okay, that makes sense. And I'm just trying to correlate it with what I know, by the way,
mm-hmm.
in music.
Mm-hmm.
Which may or may not be good because it's been so long since I've seen the inside of a classroom, as far as music is concerned. All right.
Right.
Now, what about arthritis? What kind of music for arthritis?
Well, with arthritis, there's a lot of pain involved.
Right.
And so with pain, you enter another category.
Okay.
And it's important with pain that you, first of all, rate the pain on a scale from 1 to 10.
Okay.
And let's say you're rating it between 1 and 3.
Okay.
Put on whatever you like.
Okay.
Put on whatever catches your attention.
Okay.
Because you will listen to it, and then you don't think about the pain.
Okay. Now, does this heal, or does it just distract?
It's just a distractor.
Okay.
It's just a distractor. Again, we don't know of any particular music, per se, that heals arthritis.
Okay.
But if you move into the sounds, yes, break it down into smaller and just do frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of healing with music will take place when the person is able to access their higher self, their spiritual self, while listening to a piece of music.
Okay, that makes sense.
Let me give you a really interesting story. This happened several years ago. I was working in a hospital and had been training the nurses in how to do passive music therapy. And the gal who was working in ICU called me and she said, "We've got a 45-year-old woman in here whose vital signs are slowly diminishing. Nobody knows why. They have her hooked up to all the life support systems that are available,
mm-hmm.
and nothing is making any difference." And
mm-hmm.
she said, "I want to play some music for her. What would you suggest?" So off the top of my head, I suggested a tape that I had put together called Soul Music, music that touches your soul.
Okay.
It was all classical music.
Okay.
And I said, "Why don't you try that?" This was on a Friday. And, of course, the weekend came and went, and I got back to the nurse about Tuesday, I guess it was, and asked how this patient was. And she said, "Well, she's not here anymore." I said, "Well, she must have passed on."
Right.
She said, No. She's down on the recovery room floor. I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "I put the music on, and I played it for maybe 3-4 hours, and her vital signs stabilized.
Mm-hmm.
No other interventions." And she said, "We gave her an hour of rest, and then we played it for another 3-4 hours, and very gradually, her vital signs began to improve. There were no other variables that changed except the addition of the music." This woman didn't remember. She didn't remember.
I just love to hear that.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Isn't it? So something in that music touched her very deeply.
Well, yes, and what was that old saying? Music has sounds to soothe the savage beast?
To soothe the savage breast.
To soothe the savage breast.
Right.
There you go. I knew I had it misquoted somehow.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And I also feel that when you say passive, explain to our audience, what does passive mean?
Okay, passive means the patient is not making music.
Okay, they're listening rather than participating.
Right.
You are
going to receive a CD or tape to listen to that's specific for your,
uh-huh.
your issue.
Okay. So now we know what passive is. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we could do. Part of this, you talked about working with shamans and Native Americans in training.
I haven't so
okay,
much.
Okay, but some people do. Is that part of a cultural background?
Yes. Cultural and, you know, there's been a wave of people interested in working with shamans.
Yeah, I've
heard
of that.
A friend of mine here is a shaman, not Native American, but studied with many Native Americans, Black
mm-hmm.
Elk, and also some Tibetans, and people are really, a lot of people are very much drawn to that kind of path and to the use of drumming. I worked with Michael Harner, who is one of the original shaman anthropologist drummers.
Okay.
And we did some very interesting work in the drumming workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're just that constant beating of the drum, if you finally allow yourself to move into it,
mm-hmm.
it moves you into an altered state.
That I can understand also. That's not particularly a field that interested me, but I have heard so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have got into drumming. I'll keep my personal opinions to myself. I think every mode, if it helps somebody, it's valid, even
that's
if it's not
right.
one that I like.
Exactly.
Or it interests me. I know that if it does help somebody else, then as far as I'm concerned, it's valid.
Yes.
Some other things going along. You say toning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had mentioned briefly Dr. Tomas.
Yes.
I think he's a Belgian. And that's overseas, working with autistic children. Is that kind of work being accepted and respected here in the U.S. the way it is in Europe? Because I know there must be a lot of... we're so resistant sometimes over here.
Yeah,
I'm being kind, of course.
Right. Again, there's pockets of these kinds of things going on all over the United States.
Uh-huh.
And what's really fascinating to me right now is how quickly people are beginning to be attracted to it.
Okay.
We have more journal articles about it, more people experiencing it, telling other people, more practitioners who are here,
uh-huh.
there, and everywhere. And it's really beginning, I hate to use the word take off, but...
Right. I understand what you're saying.
It's really beginning to blossom and grow. Where the United States is having their very first sound healing major conference. It's going to be in, I think it's either Albuquerque or Santa Fe in November. And all the major players in the field of sound healing will be there.
Okay.
Of course,
I think that's fabulous at the start.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that just kind of blows me away in a sense, you know?
It's just very, very exciting.
It's been a long time coming, I think. Sometimes I think Europe is a little bit more advanced than we are.
They are. They
you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I thought it was just me, maybe.
No.
Okay. What are some of the other subjects that you really wanted to get into tonight and share with the audience and share with other people? I try to let my guests go through and talk about what their passion is, where their heart is, you know, where and the body-mind connection of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly the body-mind connection in all of this in healing is that your body is nothing more than a receptacle for your thoughts and your emotions,
mm-hmm.
and your spirit. It's just a housing. So that,
mm-hmm.
if you're having a particular symptom, the thing to go back and look at is what might have been the emotion that triggered all the chemistry that changed my physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And that all goes back to belief systems.
Okay.
Let's say, drawing a blank at the moment.
Welcome to my club.
Really.
I understand.
Anger.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Such a big issue. You know, three people can be involved in the same event. One of them will get angry.
Yes.
One of them will cry.
Uh-huh.
And one of them will bless everybody.
Uh-huh.
And that's all because of what your belief is about that particular situation.
Huh. You know something, I have to agree with you on that. It's sort of like in a seeing an accident.
Yes.
Okay, there are how many people you have? Observing at the time, many different points of view you have.
Exactly.
Okay. What do you do for anger? Say you have somebody who has, and this has to do with heart disease, because angry people, as I understand it, tend to have more heart attacks.
Yes.
On average. So you're working with a client who comes in with anger management issues,
mm-hmm.
or anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
What? How do you deal with this client? How do you talk to your client and get them to kind of lay aside the self-destructive behavior, which true anger is?
That's a real good question, and I have at least five or six right now in that process. The first thing to do is to explain to them what it's doing to your body.
Right.
You are going to kill yourself, not the other person that you're angry at.
That's true. Okay.
Anger is giving away your health to the person you're angry at.
Exactly. Okay.
5 minutes of anger will decrease your immune system for 6 hours.
Really? Now that's a statistic I was not aware of.
Yep. This comes out of the Institute for Heart Math in Boulder Creek, Colorado. They
okay.
are just doing exceptional work with looking at that kind of thing. So that's the first thing, and then to have them realize that you've got to get a different perspective. And to help you do that, ask
uh-huh.
people to keep an anger journal for a week.
Okay.
Just write down every single time you are angry, frustrated, miffed, ticked off, whatever words that you want to use.
Right.
Carry around a little book so that you can see where your patterns are. What
okay.
is the major issue that you're being angry about?
Mm-hmm.
Then I go through a really interesting little exercise with them to have them look underneath the anger and see what's there.
Okay.
Most anger underneath it is really a crying out for respect, acknowledgement,
mm-hmm.
caring, or love.
Now, isn't that interesting?
If you look,
okay. how do people respond to that? Basically, do they come to the conclusion or within themselves of agreement that this is indeed something that they feel they believe?
Yes, particularly when we go to look at some of the places in their anger journal that they've been keeping. Of when they got angry.
Uh-huh.
Why did they get angry? They weren't respecting me. They didn't acknowledge me.
Okay.
I really wanted them to love me or whatever.
Okay.
And they can see it very clearly.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Working with people who have a lot of anger issues, there's something of, you know, that I noticed, and that is sometimes if there's a traumatic experience that's not cleared up.
Yes.
The person from an emotional standpoint remains at that age.
Yes, absolutely.
So if somebody suffers a traumatic event, they're accused of something that they didn't do, or there's a sudden death that they feel guilty for it, they may stay at the age of 9. They may
mm-hmm.
stay and emotionally be 9 years old.
Exactly.
Even
yes.
though their bodies are chronologically a lot older, is that correct?
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true, and we can do techniques of, you know, regressions and trying to go back in their life and look for that. Some people remember it, a lot of people don't.
Okay.
So doing some regression work
mm-hmm.
is a good
mm-hmm.
way to go back and have them re-experiencing it as an observer
mm-hmm.
and change it.
Yes, okay. Well, I had wondered about that. That was kind of an impression that I had received of, you know, when I was, as I bounce around in life, and I just wondered if I was seeing things or was, you know, because I only have, I don't have formal training in this, so I can only use my own
intuition.
Knowledge.
Intuition, sure.
To understand what's happening to others around me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in toning, how long does it take? Can you give some idea of what people expect? Is there, I'm sure it depends on the person, the severity of the situation, etc.
It does.
But there's a kind of a minimum, maximum type of thing.
I wish I could tell you that.
Just depends, huh? Still,
no.
Just depends.
I mean, it does. It depends on, first of all, how chronic the disease is. Secondly, how motivated you are. Do what needs to be done. I mean,
do you find Now, let's get a little sexist here. Do you find that women are more likely to be open and accepting of healing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, men don't have time to do what's needed. They want the magic pill, or they don't even admit that there's something wrong.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And most of my clients are women.
Okay.
They will come in sooner than men.
Do you think that that will change? Do you see any kind of a change in that pattern, but men are now becoming more sensitive and aware and being more willing to heal what's going on because they're in such pain?
Exactly. And that's a good point. Just as soon as men do become more sensitive, those are the ones who come in just as regularly as women.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As the society helps them change, see that it's okay to be sick and go get help.
Yeah, you know, there's still that macho thing, like they won't stop and ask for directions. I'm sorry. I sat in the car and just ran my jaw at people who are driving, and I'm not even related to them. Saying, you know, I'll ask for the directions if you can't get it.
Right, right. And you know that joke.
I have no pride when I'm lost, none whatsoever.
You know that joke about Moses.
Moses. It's a Moses complex. Is that what it is?
Something like that. Yeah. That he could have gotten them out of the desert a lot faster if he'd asked for directions.
That must be a joke I haven't heard, but I love it.
Yeah.
Also in the sharing, you told us a little bit of how you got started, but I think I am just absolutely fascinated by the capabilities that seem to be brought up by this type of healing. I mean, with this, you know, to me, this is like an open sesame.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And have you found people who, on the whole, cannot be helped with this kind of wonderful healing?
Well, certainly.
Not people who are stubborn about it, I mean. Okay. I'm not talking about people who sabotage themselves and deliberately undercut themselves. I'm talking about people who at least on the surface, they will go through, they will, you know, make the attempt.
Oh.
They seem to be open. We've all met these kinds of people, I think, in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That for some reason, they're really not, they don't seem to be getting better or not at the rate one would hope.
Right, right.
Is there anything about them in particular or a particular type of illness that would...
Well, you know, sometimes our chosen path is that we need to experience this illness for a length of period of time for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that's one possibility.
Okay.
Another possibility is, without them even realizing it, and I saw this in pain clinics where I worked, is that there are a lot of wonderful secondary gains for being
from
ill.
From staying ill, yes. Yes. I understand that, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the attention that the person didn't get as a child or what have you, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's part of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm stretching. I think the third one might be that sometimes we have become so well defended in what has hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
That it just is going to take longer to get to it.
Okay.
To the core of what's going on.
Okay. Now that too makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are three that I think of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
That I have seen. And so sometimes with folks, we'll work for a while, and I'll pull out, you know, all the stops. I have many things in my bag of tricks.
Right, right.
And then we'll both come to a feeling like, well, maybe we just need to separate out for a while, go live for a while, and then they come back later. Life has gone on for a while, and something may have occurred in their life.
Okay.
Some event that triggers.
Right.
Triggers memory, triggers change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
That's about as far as I can think about that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In hospitals, I understand they're more and more going to and accepting alternative nursing and alternative therapies. Do you find that they're including along with that hypnosis therapy as well as the sound therapy?
Or is
there
really
still kind
know.
Of a reluctance?
I couldn't address that, Phyllis. I don't have any idea about the acceptance of hypnosis.
Well, how about the sound therapy? Are more hospitals willing to accept? Because you mentioned you were a hypnotherapist, or you work with hypnotherapy as well.
Just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
But what I do is go to hospitals and teach the nurses how to administer this passive music therapy, music medicine. We call it music medicine.
And do they find, by and large, that it does have a positive influence?
Oh, absolutely. And it's sometimes in the most interesting ways. I remember getting a call not too long ago from one of the nurses that had been one of my trainings. She was
mm-hmm.
in a hospital in New York City. And she was kind of reluctant to try any of it. She was, because it's so new.
Right, right.
And one day she said she had this older gentleman who was
mm-hmm.
just a pain in the neck.
Or possibly somewhere else.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You know, one of these who's lonely, he's bored, he's on his call button all the time. And
oh, yes.
Just running the nurse's ragged. So she said, I decided to ask him if he liked music. Well, that opened the Pandora's box. And he just talked about music, and she said, well, let me bring you some in. And so she found some CDs and a CD player, and he'd be, you know, self-entertaining for hours. And
uh-huh.
improvement in his emotions, etc.
Fabulous.
That's a different kind of healing. That's an emotional healing.
Exactly. And my feeling or my thinking is, as you're talking, is it possible that a lot of illnesses are grounded in emotional trauma from way back when?
My particular opinion is most of them are.
Okay.
That the emotions are what changes your physiology.
Really?
Yep. You can see it directly on the monitors, particularly if you're looking at some of the heart biofeedbacks.
Uh-huh.
Just start talking about something that is upsetting to you, and watch what happens. Your heart rate goes up, your respiration goes up, hormones are released into your body, and you keep doing this day after day, year after year,
and of course
pretty soon you have changed your entire physique.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry. So what we're saying is in body, mind, and spirit, mind and the emotional effects of what we think about are very important factors here.
Absolutely. When your body shows a symptom, go back and look at your mind and your emotions.
Okay. What about the emotion of fear?
Well,
there's a lot of fear lately with not only 9/11, but I'm in Washington, D.C. It seems to me every time I turn around, they're talking, we're going to get zapped. We're gonna, and I'm figuring, yeah. Sooner
mm-hmm.
or later, we all go, so, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
But many people seem so fear-driven.
Well, being in Washington, you know who's driving all that fear.
Well, yeah, we can't comment on politics here.
Right. I just think you know who is. And it's so different. I was reading an article not too long ago about the promotion of peace.
Right.
And how much better, of course, that is for us. But just as soon as you have fear, fear is anxiety.
Okay.
And just as soon as you have that in your body, what happens? Your blood pressure goes up.
Exactly.
Your heart rate increases. Your respiration increases. Again, you have hormones racing through your system.
Yeah.
And that's going to change your body. Ulcers.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one around town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are many people who are sick in here, and
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why most people don't take care of themselves. I mean, that's one of the first things that we learned. And, you know, is that you take care of yourself, then the rest of the world is going to be able to survive.
Right.
But being ill is almost a badge of going to work. That's something else. Is this a cultural change that we should go through to teach people that going to work when you're sick is not a sign of macho or dedication to work, but stupidity?
It's not a sign of strength, for sure. It is a sign of stupidity. It's also a sign that you don't care about yourself.
Well, I'm also kind of upset because when you're sick and you go out, you make other people sick, which seems to me it just creates a bad, whole lot of bad stuff with you.
It does. It does. And it continues then to spread different kinds of illnesses, flu,
right.
Colds, things like that.
Right.
And it's not being kind to your neighbor.
No,
it's
no,
like secondhand.
I understand that also.
Like secondhand smoke.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole another story.
It is, isn't it?
But a lot of people are taking that out nowadays, you know. A lot
yeah.
of people are not being able to smoke even in public. They're trying to get rid of that altogether.
Mm-hmm.
What about colds now? Can you using music, using these, like the Clinichair or things of this nature, can you bring about healing of common colds and flus?
I would say yes.
Okay.
You know, I am of the philosophy anything is possible.
Okay.
If you set your intent.
Right.
I have personally felt a cold coming on. And I will go into a quiet space and say, I do not have time for this.
Okay.
Body, please heal.
Okay.
And I will not have the cold.
Okay.
Now, you can use the music to get into that quiet space.
Okay.
And then have a talk with your body.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't have to get sick, no.
What other kinds of music are good to help calm people down? Now, there's one thing I want to talk about, toning. I'm sorry, I was going to ask that and then it hit. I notice when people are very ill, and in pain, they will moan. And I notice they moan at different tone levels.
Mm-hmm.
And when they moan, does that release pain? Is that a vibrational pain releasement for the person?
It certainly can, yes. Yes. And let me tell you about a fellow, as a matter of fact, I was just talking with him today, David Eisen, who was many years ago in a very, very bad automobile accident, found himself laying in bed, in traction, in a body cast, long time healing. He had played guitar. And so his friends brought his guitar in, and he laid it on his chest and was just, he could only strum.
Right.
And found that there were certain pieces, not pieces of music, but tones.
Tones, okay.
Notes that made him feel much better. And if he hummed it, it made him feel a whole lot better.
Huh.
Yes. The first most wonderful healing instrument we have is our voice.
Yes.
And if you just open your mouth and make a sound, more than likely, that sound is the one that you need right then and there to make you feel better.
Really?
We don't need stereos. We don't need instruments. We have everything that we need all packaged right in our skin.
Okay.
And so just open your mouth and hum.
Fabulous. Very interesting.
You can use any
human being has this ability to help their own body heal.
Yes.
Through music. Are you familiar with the humming chorus from
Madame Butterfly?
Madame Butterfly, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was hard to sing.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. Gorgeous piece of music, but hard. Humming that long just about did me in, and I was young at the time.
I'll bet.
But that's what you're talking about, that kind of, and it doesn't have to be sustained a long time, does it?
No. Just do it for as long as you feel like you want to do it.
Okay.
And you just reminded me that humming, not particularly, you know, opening your mouth, but, you know, the humming really helps sinus conditions.
Sinus conditions?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I hope everybody's listening to that, folks. People have sinus conditions all over the place, especially in the spring. What a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, go around humming. You don't have to hum a song. Just hum whatever note feels good to you. And you'll notice that your sinuses will open more.
Okay. I think that's wonderful because I know some people. Now, I've noticed with other people, humming is a sign of happiness.
That can be too, sure.
Then when they really like the work they're doing, they start humming.
Mm-hmm. And then that humming will just help increase the vibrational level of your body at the same time.
Okay. So that's another thing that there's so much. Now that you sit and talk about it, it begins to make sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. We've just forgotten so much.
Why do you think that was?
Well, we got into the industrial age and
okay.
the science age, and then everything... We made science our new god.
Well, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if science doesn't say it works, then it isn't so.
Well, you know, science is still in infancy, from what I understand.
Yes, it is.
At least that was my understanding.
Yes. But people don't think of it as. We've made it the end-all and be-all. You might tell people to do... about this vibroacoustic work, that it really works. Well, are there any scientific studies that show that it does?
Are there?
Yes, absolutely. And
okay.
Sherry has it on her website at soundhealthinc.com.
Okay. That sounds very good and positive and
mm-hmm.
all sorts of nice stuff there. You do work as a clinical. What type of typical clients do you have? What is the greatest number of, what's the most common, I guess I'm looking for, what is the most common ailment that people seek your help?
Oh, I don't have common in my world.
Okay.
No such thing.
How about most frequently seen, let's put it that way.
Typically seen, oh boy. Again, no typical. No, there isn't. People come in because they're not feeling good.
And that's how they define it. We just don't feel good, and that's
exactly.
how it is.
Exactly. Exactly. Tell me why I'm not feeling
good.
Okay,
we're at the end of the hour.
Sorry?
We're up at the end of the hour.
Okay. Well, I have to say, wrap up our stories for today and our wonderful guests that I have found very fascinating. I am so glad you came on board. Sorry
well,
for the glitches in the beginning.
Thank you for inviting me.
But this is Phyllis Pricer for Higher Dimensions, and again, we wanted to let you know that if you wanted to reach Dr. Suzanne Jonas, how may they touch you? How may they reach you?
Try my website.
Okay.
And that's innerharmonyhealthcenter.com.
Okay. And a phone number, or that you're happy with that?
The phone number is at the website.
Okay.
And they can get a lot of information and recommendations on particular CDs to help with all kinds of ailments.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Thank you. And I'm Phyllis Pricer for Higher Dimensions. I'm so glad you listened in today. I've found this very instructive, and I'm going to be talking to you later, Dr. Jonas, because I have some things I'd like to talk to you about.
Well, wonderful.
And share with you some information, too. And again, we'd like to let you know that Comfort One Shoes are wonderful shoes at Union Station in Washington, D.C., and I thank you so very much for being on board with us.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.